Well, I'm going to be having an interview with Tim later, but I'll give you a little bit about my life history now. I used to be a primary school teacher. I was a primary school teacher for 5 years in the northeast of England in two pretty rough schools. And as a result of that, I had to deal with quite a number of naughty kids. And I can remember one boy in particular. And he was really difficult to deal with because he'd had pretty much every punishment in the book. He'd been told off by me, he'd been sent to the head, he'd even been excluded. Yet the problem was, he realised that nothing I could do to him was really that bad. When I shouted at him, he just laughed. When he was sent to the head, he knew that he'd get told off for 5 minutes and then could just sit in her office for the rest of the morning. And when he got excluded, his mum just let him play on the Xbox at home. So he realised there was absolutely nothing I could do to him that was really that bad. And so he had no motivation to change. And some people would say, isn't it the same with Christianity? You see, God already said, you're forgiven. You can't do anything that will separate you from my love, as we've sung in many of the songs this morning. So why on earth would anyone do good? Why not just keep on sinning? Isn't it great fun anyway? What's the motivation as a Christian to stop doing what is wrong? If you're not a Christian here this morning, this might be one of the things that puts you off Christianity. You might say to yourself, well, hang on. If Christianity is all about forgiveness, then isn't that just going to create terrible people who do wrong continually? Or if you're a Christian, you might think to yourself, I know I should be doing this thing in my life. But every time I want to sin, there's this little voice in my head that says, it doesn't matter, you're going to be forgiven anyway. Why should a Christian do good if they're already forgiven? Well, that's the question Paul asks at the start, isn't it? Verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? If we're forgiven, if we're under grace, why don't we just sin? Well, Paul says that's not to be the case, and he wants to give us in this passage three reasons why we should serve God despite the fact that we're forgiven, or perhaps because of the fact that we're forgiven. And so if you're a non-Christian this morning and you're struggling to understand why forgiveness doesn't lead to sin, hopefully what Paul tells you this morning will help you to understand that. And if you're a Christian in the fight, the battle against sin, this passage will help to give you some ammunition to defeat it in your life. So there's going to be three reasons, and the first is this. Serve God because slavery to something is inevitable. Serve God because slavery to something is inevitable. And we see that particularly in verse 16. Often we equate what God wants with slavery and what we want with freedom. So if you listen to the language about sexual ethics in the world at the moment, the Christian view will often be described as restricted, puritanical, prude, slavish. Whereas that the world's way of doing things will be described as liberated, free, the way I was born, natural. We think in our heads that what God wants us to do is slavery, and even Christians fall into that way of thinking. What I want to do is freedom. What God wants to do is slavery. Yet Paul won't let us get off that easily. He wants to tell us we are always slaves to something. So verse 16 says this, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness." Now, to understand what he's talking about here, we need to understand how slavery worked in those days. In our heads, we've got that picture of the kind of African slave trade, that horrible thing that happened hundreds of years ago, where people were rounded up onto boats. But that wasn't what happened in Roman times. Most slaves were slaves by choice. And the reason was this. When you'd run out of money, there was no welfare system. Either you sat on the side of a street and begged, or you sold yourself and your family to someone as a slave. You'd go to a rich person in town, knock on the door, and say, "I'd like to be your slave. I'm going to present myself as a servant to you, and I will become your slave." And that's what Paul's talking about here. He says each of us offers ourselves, goes and knocks on the door of a potential slave master. And there's only two. There's either sin or there's obedience. There is no free human being. Either we're slaves to sin or we're slaves to God. Now, often we can recognize slavery to sin in other people, even those of us who aren't Christians. So we'll say things like this when we talk about someone we don't like. She'll do anything for a couple of quid. His life is totally revolved around work. She can never admit she's wrong. And what we're doing when we say those things is we're recognizing they're a slave to money, to ambition, to pride. But we often struggle to see that in ourselves. If you've worked with people who struggle from addiction, say an alcoholic, they'll often struggle to recognize that they're a slave to drink. But it's the same with every other sin. The person who's self-obsessed doesn't realize they're a slave to pride. The person who's a gossip doesn't realize they're a slave to other people's approval. But deep down, that is the reality. If you aren't a slave to God, if you aren't doing what God wants you to do, you're not free. You're just a slave to something else. And the fact is, what you do shows who you are really a slave of. So last night we were keeping tabs on the football to see how United were doing, and Manchester City and Chelsea, and making sure we kept tabs on all those things. And it's very soon the end of the transfer deadline. Let's imagine that Wayne Rooney transfers to Chelsea, which would be a great devastation to me as a lifelong Man United fan. But let's imagine that happens. And in a few weeks' time, Man United are playing Chelsea. Rooney comes on in his blue shirt with a Chelsea badge. And yet, as the game goes on, some strange things start to happen. Rooney starts passing to United players, to Van Persie, to Mata. He starts running in the wrong direction. He even scores a blinder of an own goal. Now, it might be that Rooney is wearing the Chelsea badge, but who would Rooney really be playing for? What Paul wants to say to us is this: if we keep on sinning, if we present ourselves to sin as its slaves, it's clear whose side we're really on. Now, how does that motivate us to stop sinning? Well, what it does is this: when we recognize that we're either slaves to sin or slaves to God, we recognize that we've got to make a choice. I would challenge you to think of the actions you've done this week and ask, if someone could only see what I did last week, who would they say I'm a slave of? If they see you gossiping around the water cooler about your boss, would they think you were a slave of what other people thought of you? If they watched you snap at the kids as they interrupted a TV show, would they say you were a slave to your own entertainment? If they saw you lie to your boss to make yourself sound good, would they say you were a slave of ambition? The question is not, will you be a slave or be free? The question is, who do you want to be your boss? Would you prefer God, who's gracious, loving, and kind, who only wants the best for you? Or would you like to be a slave of sin that will beat you down and take you in the wrong direction? You are always a slave of something. Slavery is inevitable. Who is going to be your master? Now you might say, well, I know I'm a slave. Sometimes I hate the things I do. I hate the fact that I keep talking trash about people. I hate the fact that I really care what others think about me. I hate some of the things I think in my free time. I wish nobody would see those things. But I can't escape. It's called slavery for a reason. I can't escape this sin. Well, Paul's second point is this: serve God because slavery to sin is over. Serve God because slavery to sin is over. And that's in verses 17 to 18. Let's look at verse 17 to begin with. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Paul makes clear to these Christians that they were once slaves to sin. They truly were. But that was in the past. Now things have changed. They've been taken away from that. Why? Well, he talks about the fact that they have become obedient from the heart. Now, that might sound a little bit like works righteousness, like they've worked their way to God. But actually, earlier in the letter, in chapter 1, Paul talks about the obedience of faith, which is what he's talking of here. They have become obedient because of what God has done. They have trusted in what he calls the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And that's the way Paul talks about the gospel, the good news of Jesus. The good news that although we had sinned, although we were slaves to sin, separated from God, that Jesus died for our sins, paying the price so that we could have an eternity with God. The believers had heard that message. They'd obeyed it with faith. And the result was what happens in verse 18. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. The believers are set free from sin. Sin is not their master anymore. It's not in control. Now, of course, this only works if you've trusted in Jesus. And so I'd ask you this morning to consider whether that's something that you need to do for the first time. Now, I recognize that what the Bible says here is incredibly offensive. You're a slave to sin. You are under someone else's control. That doesn't sound right. What I'd ask you to consider, if you're not a Christian here this morning, is look at your life. Who's really in the driver's seat? Who is really in control? Perhaps you really are a slave to other people's opinions, to money, to possessions, to those you love. And if you recognize that, if you see that you're a slave, then there is only one way out. The only release from slavery, Paul tells us in this passage, is Jesus. He's died for the sin of those who trust in him. He's rescued us from slavery. And if we trust in him, our sins will be forgiven and our chains will be gone. Sin will not be our master anymore. But if you're a Christian, you might say this: I gave my life to Jesus many years ago, and apparently I was released from slavery, but I still feel like I have to do these things. I still feel like a slave to sin. There was a TV show on the TV about 6 months ago called The Honourable Woman. I don't know if you saw it, but in this program, it was a very confusing program, but in it there was this woman who was mentally scarred after being held by terrorists many years ago. And now, after having been released, in her bedroom was a secret cupboard. And she opened the door. There was this room with blinding white lights, a bed without a sheet, and a lock on the door. Even though she'd been set free, every night she locked herself in a cell of her own making. And friends, if we continue to sin, it's the same with us. Our slave master has gone. We don't have to sin anymore. And yet in many ways, we're still kind of suffering from the post-traumatic stress. We think we must do what sin tells us to do. Yet we don't. We're sleeping in a jail, though the door is wide open. How does that motivate us to change? Well, it gives us no excuses. I don't know about you, but often I feel like in certain situations, sinful Tim takes over. I've got to do this. I've got to sin. I can't stop it. But that's not true. Now I'm a Christian. I'm free. I just need to live like that. Perhaps there's an area of your life this morning where you think, I can't help myself. These desires in my heart, they just seem to make me run after that thing that I know isn't right. But friends, we are not slaves anymore. We're not slaves to our bad home life. We're not slaves to being born this way. We're not slaves to the rough time we've had. Those things can be true and hard, but the reality is we are released from slavery. We can do what is right. Sin has been definitively beaten by Jesus. We just need to live like it. But there is one last problem that we might have. As I was working on this sermon over the past couple of weeks, I became aware of what I was thinking when I sinned. And if I'm honest, when I sinned, it wasn't because I wasn't aware that it would make me a slave to sin. It wasn't even that I wasn't aware that Jesus had enabled me to defeat sin. The problem was, deep down, I thought that the sin was better. A lie-in, oh, that's so much more exciting than waking up and doing a quiet time. Complaining, oh, that's so much easier than praising God. Venting at a person who's annoyed me, that's so much more satisfying than forgiveness. Often we believe the lie that sin is better. But what Paul wants to tell us in his final point is this: serve God because slavery to God is better. Serve God because slavery to God is better. So in verses 19 to 23, we see him comparing the two things. And he talks about the fruit of each. So verse 21, he says, "But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed?" So let's have a look at the fruits of sin. Verse 19 tells us about one of those fruits. It tells us that if we were going the wrong way, we were slaves to impurity in the middle of verse 19. Have you ever done something that's made you feel dirty, filthy, unable to get to God? That's the fruit of sin. Verse 19 also talks about lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. We all know that's the truth with a lie, don't we? We start a little lie and then we get wrapped up in a web of more and more lies. And no matter what sin we do, it has this kind of addictive effect where we get deeper and deeper into sin. Verse 21 talks of the things of which you are now ashamed. The things we do that go away from God, they cause us shame. They might seem great at the time, but looking back, we wish they never happened. And verse 23 tells us the final end: for the wages of sin is death. Sin leads to death. It leads to separation from God. And so when we look at those fruits, we've got to ask, is sin really worth it? Is that what we want? Compare that to what Paul says about slavery to God in these verses. Now, Paul admits at the start of verse 19, he says, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. And I think what he's trying to say there is that slavery isn't the best metaphor for being with God, because actually it's almost like a freedom. It conveys the fact that we are under God, but actually it gives such life. It's such a beautiful thing. And some of those things will come out in these verses. He calls us slaves to righteousness. Now, elsewhere in the letter, that means justification, coming to God. But here, it means a right life. We're going to be living in a way that's right in God's eyes. Isn't that fantastic? We will be leading to sanctification, which means being separated from all that is wrong, separated to God. And then verse 23 says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." If we are in God, if we are his slaves, the end is eternal life with him. And so I'd ask you to consider, which is better? In the moment, slavery to sin may seem better, but in the long run, the slavery to God bears much better fruit. Sin is a bit like junk food. It tastes good at the time, but it clogs up your arteries. Serving God is a wholesome meal, filling, satisfying, and life-giving. In the moment of temptation, we need to remind ourselves of the long-term effects of our sin. Tell yourself where that sin is taking you. Do I want to feel impure? Do I want to be trapped in a cycle of ever-increasing lawlessness? Do I want to be ashamed of what I've done? Do I want to follow a master that leads to death and hell? Sin's like a stranger who offers a kid a bag of sweets. But before you tuck into the Haribo, look in the back of his white van. Look at the chains he's going to hold you with, the blood from those who've been before. That is how terrible sin is. Do you really want to go there? And where is God taking you? isn't it going to be better? Don't you want to be right with God? Don't you want to be closer to Him? Don't you want to be more loving to others? Don't you want to do now what you will be doing for all eternity, serving Him? Forget the short-term perks of sin. This is true goodness. Slavery to God is always better. So there you have it, the three motivations this morning. Serve God because slavery to sin is inevitable. Serve God because slavery to sin is over. And serve God because slavery to God is better. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, I hope that what Paul has said has persuaded you that free forgiveness doesn't lead to wrongdoing. Actually, Christians have loads of motivations to serve God. But as we talked about before, I'd like you to think as you leave today, am I a slave to something else? Am I a slave to money, to selfishness, to what my friends think of me? And if I was a Christian, wouldn't it be better to be released? If you recognize your slavery this morning, if you recognize you do things that you don't want to do, then this passage gives us great news. Jesus releases those who trust in Him from the slavery to sin. The rest of the journey isn't easy, as you've seen, Christians still struggle. But you will start to overcome the shame in your life. If you want to talk more about this, feel free to talk to me or one of the leaders of the church or a Christian friend after the service. But we would encourage you to escape that slavery to sin that drags you through the filth. But what about us as Christians? Well, the take-home point for today is this. Our slavery is over, but we still have some fighting to do. You need to remind yourselves of these truths day after day. I wish I could say that after this sermon, you'll never sin again. You'll never be tempted. But the truth is that every day there will be a battle to remind yourself of these truths. Remind yourself that if you aren't a slave to God, you're a slave to something else. Remind yourself that Jesus has won the battle, that you can have victory. And remind yourself how much better slavery to God is than slavery to sin. And if you do, you will win some battles against sin. You will become more like His Son, Jesus Christ. And you'll begin the service of God that is nothing like slavery in a way that will last into eternity.